This is John Costa with Rob Watson, and we're recording another Spotlight special. What I like about this is a Radio Nagger Sonalia Spotlight special with our special guest all the way from India as well, is Dr. Pretty. How are you?
Yeah, great.
Good. Welcome back to Leicester.
Thank you.
So it's been a while since we've seen you.
Yeah, I think I have come just 6 months ago, so it's not a long time that I've been here.
So we were doing an event at De Montfort University, the PAVE
yes.
conference,
yes.
with all the students that are involved in health and life sciences.
Yeah.
And we shared a table with you. We normally have a table for the Parallel Lives Network, and it was great. You guys are part of our network, so we invited you to have half the table. And it was good. What's your memory of the event?
I think we ended up taking the whole
table. We did take next door's table because they didn't turn up,
exactly,
didn't we?
Exactly, yes.
Well, we had lots of sweets and bits and pieces to show. Yeah. So what's your memory of the event? Was it a positive experience, do you think?
It was. It was a great experience, and it was great to meet so many South Asian students here in Leicester. That was one important thing which was very good, and I actually got to speak a lot of Hindi with them and explain a lot of things. And one thing which they missed, I think, from India was the mango mood toffees which we gave them. So just as I say that...
You knew what to bring.
Yeah, yes. I knew what to bring. But the most important thing was mango mood is such a small thing, isn't it? But such small things actually count a lot when we are talking on the media. So I could relate with that very well.
Brilliant. Brilliantly segued into our conversation then about... Radio Nagger. Then when we spoke previously with the founder of Sonalia, Girish, he was telling us a little bit about the organization and where it came from. And obviously it's approaching its 40th anniversary in 2029.
Yeah.
But sort of 14, 15 years ago, the decision was made to trial, well, a little bit longer than that, because it took a few years to get it together, didn't it?
Yes.
Radio Nagger, and have this community radio that served the local community and other NGOs, as well as shared
yes.
the message. Now, you've been involved in a lot of that journey,
sure.
from radio jockey through to producer, through to the sort of programming head.
Yeah.
Tell us, in your view, what is Radio Nagger and what makes it special?
Yeah. So the first thing is, there was a community radio in Ahmednagar district already when we started Radio Nagger, but that was very much focused on the agriculture part. What we did was we connected directly with the people on the ground. We brought them to the studio. Before that, I'm not sure if the national radio or the commercial radios actually bring people to the studio, people who have never got a platform to talk about their issues.
So you were interested in bringing in the audience to
yes.
be part of the program,
yes,
and making
yes,
those programs.
Definitely, because they go on talking about it to governance, the government people, but getting a platform and then getting followers, because when they talk about an issue, it comes out that this issue is faced by many people in the district, in the city, and then it becomes a movement. So I think community radio is more about creating a movement, creating the right noise, and then taking it to the right governance. Because many a times we have people in the programs where we have, on one side, we have people from the governance, and on the other side, we have people who have actually had issues. So it was a great thing to be a bridge between these two people. I won't say that we could actually solve all the problems, but at least we could take it directly to the right governance and the right government people. So I think that is a great thing which community radio can do and which other radio mediums cannot.
I think that's the value of it, really, is not just telling the fact that the story's there.
Yeah.
It's the fact that that story tends to be something that other people are experiencing. So even if the people ringing in have got, well, actually are calling in and saying, well, I've got a solution to yeah. that you can pass on to that particular person.
Right.
But also, I think because it's a radio station that's about information and sharing lots of stuff, there's people that are listening to it that are potential, they are affected by that issue, but
yeah.
there's also someone sitting in an office that might be listening to the radio yeah. who's actually responsible for maybe some of the measures that are causing that issue
yes.
or can solve that issue. So you're almost, it's intangible. You're not necessarily knowing that some of these things are being done. Was that the reason why you got involved in the radio station in the first place? Because you felt it was an opportunity to make a difference?
To be honest, when I read about the advertisement, which I read in a local paper that Snehalaya is hiring people for a community radio, I was not very clear about the concept of a community radio. But when I actually went in and I started working there, then I realized, and our mentor, Dr. Mirikar, who had been in this medium for more than 16 years. So he was the one who actually guided me to understand the real importance of community radio and how it differs from the All India Radio or maybe the commercial radios. So from that time, I really got a gist of what am I supposed to do, how I can use this medium for various other subjects like health, hygiene, or women empowerment, or simple things of like making children understand simple Marathi or English language and the nuances of English language or nuances of Marathi language. And I didn't know radio could do that. For example, we had a program in the vacations for the students and we decided why not bring a child jockey instead of I talking about it. Why not a child jockey come in and talk about things which children really think about and children really imagine. So it was a great success. So it's not every time that the employees in the radio are supposed to be involved. If someone of the same age, of the same thoughts, if that person comes and talks, I think the conversation becomes more lively, more connecting, and then it makes a difference.
Now, one of the things when I introduced you as Dr. Pretty, particularly in order to be able to mention the fact that you're a medical doctor, you spent 15 years working in a hospital with your father. And then the thing that shocked Rob and I when we first met you 6 months ago was that suddenly you then got involved in radio and doing all these sorts of things. As a health professional, if I can use that term, have we yet to really understand and tap the value of community radio when it comes to sharing these things around health issues, particularly with your target audience at Sonali? You work with like AIDS and HIV, sex workers, children, women, LGBT community, the people that are on the margins of the margins.
Yeah. No, I think the other way around. Community radio has done a fantastic job about talking about health, hygiene, especially during the COVID times. When the other radios had a lot of limitations, our people actually went on the field and talked with these people who were, who couldn't get their regular medicines, or they couldn't be checked well, or they didn't get the food or groceries and all these things. And then we actually connected them with some donors, connected to the fact that how Snehalaya was helping such people, even the migratory workers. And I think at that time, all community radios did a fantastic job about talking about precautions which people should take why the vaccinations are important, removing the taboo around vaccinations. So I think community radio has done a great job about health and hygiene, which if you look at the government radios or the commercial radios, it's partially about, the commercial aspect of medicine, and then it's an indirect advertisement of people. So it is very different. But when we are talking about health, hygiene, epidemics and so on a community radio, it's so genuine. And we reach the right people. We got a lot of phone calls from people saying that, see, we are in trouble. These are our myths about vaccinations. How are we? So do we take it or do we not take it? So these were the things which they could directly call us and talk, which maybe the other mediums couldn't do it.
You were actually answering questions from people about, should I believe this and that kind of
stuff.
I'm going to bring Rob in here because I think it's interesting that you mentioned COVID specifically. Yeah. I wasn't expecting you to do that, so that's perfect, because I think, Soar Sound, like many of the other radio stations, Rob, here in Leicester, really found their purpose during COVID when it came to funding that they were getting from the sort of, the NHS for giving messaging out and stuff like that, from people that probably didn't realise community radio was there or was able to do these this kind of public messaging. And I think that's probably fallen off again since. It's almost like we want it to be there, but then when we don't want it to be there to give maybe health messages, is there any value of it? What do you think, Rob, from that perspective, this conversation we've had, isn't it, about COVID and stuff?
Yeah, it's a kind of fragmented picture, because the simple messaging process that the government applied, advertising centrally produced messages and then giving them to community radio stations to play out, wasn't that effective. What was effective was the relationship that people have with the presenter and the listener. And we you know, with Source Sound, we use a, you know, we use a phrase which is if an official person tells you to do something, you're probably not going to do it. If a friend recommends that they benefited from doing it, then you're more likely. And we're in the business of forming those kind of relationships, and we think of media as a, you know, that bond between the listener and the presenter. And I think there's an awful lot of communications which is technically managed, which forgets that. It forgets about that relationship bond and that trust that needs to be in place. So communications messages often, they get lifted into a different kind of place, which is completely devoid and separate from people's lives. Whereas, you know, we know from a daily basis of talking to people that there's, you get that feedback as well. You bump into people, you have conversations with people, and that says, I heard that conversation. And yes, I'd like to come on and talk about what I do, or I went to find out more about it. That's the powerful thing about radio. And we forget about that if we turn it into a industrialized, automated kind of product rather than a relationship building platform.
Yes. I think there can be sparklers in between in between talks, but sparklers are so mechanical. It's like, I shouldn't do that, but I'm actually comparing it with AI. So when you put something in, for example, ChatGPT, and it gives a reply back, it's very sleek. I don't say it's not sleek, but it doesn't have the soul in that. But when a radio jockey talks about vaccination and says that, yes, I have completed all the 3 vaccinations and I am fit to be on the field, and it will make you fit to be wherever you want to be, I think that makes a lot of difference. And community radio is about that. Similarly, COVID is a very big thing, but, you know, actually talking about a very life-related experience, like maybe yesterday I visited such and such hospital, and I saw that a particular person was suffering from something, and then they got a good treatment. And I think it is better to prevent things than actually get this type of treatment. That makes a difference, because that fellow is talking about something he has actually experienced. And that is something which radio is. That is a powerful medium, more than any other medium. That's what I feel. Talking on Facebook or other social media is equally important, I'm not saying. And radio doesn't make you take sides, which nowadays other medias immediately make you take sides.
So it's not about division. It's about the fact that we're bringing people, yes, particularly from a grassroots perspective, when, yes, you're representing different, yeah, communities and stuff like that. You're talking, yeah, about everybody, definitely, that at every level that makes a society work. You're not aiming it at one particular sector.
Yeah, for example, if we do a series on education or something, and we have this Bal Bhavan concept which works in the slums, we can actually make the children sit there and listen to radio. And then instead of just one child getting what we are talking, if the whole community sits together and listens to it, maybe they have a different perspective, and then they come together and discuss about it. So it's like bringing in communities, whether you do online, on-air program or on-ground program. It is always about bringing communities together. That's what I feel. And that is why it is aptly called community radio.
Yeah, perfect.
Just a quickie, John, I'm going to jump in, because separately, John had been asking me about thinking about think tanks. And I saw a phrase that came back, said, don't just be a think tank, be a do tank.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Do tank.
Well, you did call me a sparkler then, right at the beginning. Then I realised you weren't talking about me. You were talking about being a sparkler, connecting things together. But there we go. That's all,
yeah,
right. So I'm taking, yes, that away from our conversation. John Costa's a sparkler. That's fantastic. Now, I remember in COVID, working with one of our local radio stations with 3 of their young presenters, or radio jockeys, as you call them, show presenters. And we were looking at the messaging from the NHS, which they'd been paid to share.
Yeah.
And we were using the young presenters to re-record it with their own voices and stuff like that, you know, mixing it together to put it out in their shows, so their audience would listen to it because it was their voices that they heard. And Rob was saying there about that connection between, sort of the authenticity, the connection between the presenter and the community rather than just generic messaging.
Yeah.
Now, this brings me nicely onto the subject that I'd like to talk to you about as we come to a close, is that sort of radio jockeys. But it's great looking at your website and also your social media, because, and I think this is what would be really interesting to fundraisers for your equipment or anything that you do with Radio Naga, which hopefully will move forward to your 15th anniversary in January next year, is the fact that they've got these young women, young women that are radio jockeys that are from your community, from the grassroots organisations and stuff, are there presenting their own programme. You know, it's not male dominated, it's not male controlled. It's actually, you know, if you want to get involved, come and get involved. And that's, I think for me, is what the thing is that's so inspiring about it.
The good thing about Radio Nagar is from 2011, we have lots of female voices and very few male voices. We don't end up getting a good male voice. I don't know why.
You need a visit from a sparkler, don't you? That's what you need. You need a visit from a sparkler.
Yeah. And I mean, just to close the things, I got an opportunity to be a national jury for a community radio awards, which are given out by the government. And people make such creative programs. I mean, there was a series of programs only about the experiences of truck drivers as they cross borders, the state borders. And they had so many things to talk about. They had things to talk about health. They had things to talk about food, the experiences which they have in different states. And just to make, I always call this medium infotainment. So information with entertainment. And in between, the sparklers, if you're talking about, they were talking about all the things which they are written behind the trucks. There are very interesting things written behind the trucks in India. So they just talked about it, and it was a light humor which came up in such serious subjects, and that actually changed the mood of the program, and we actually ended up giving an award to that radio. And talking about the records, about how community radios work in India. So there are 400 plus community radios in India. And there are organizations based in Delhi and all who actually do all the data management and, you know, actually publish books about it. So I think it's a sort of organized sector, but not so organized sector. But I think that is the beauty of community radio.
Yes, it kind of makes itself work, isn't it? I mean, I've got two examples I'd like to share with you. One is we were doing some online teaching with two master students on the Global Health Masters course here at De Montfort University. And these guys were like, let's do something. You've done this for us. Let's do something online back for our communities in Nigeria. Mm. And I think what you forget is that when you look through that global north, global south lens, is we have organizations here and they reach so many people and they get some money and they do things. And I was talking to people there that were here to get a second master's from the UK because they saw that as a bit more serious than the one they had from their own university back home in West Africa. But they were dealing with something like 3,500 sex workers on the border of Nigeria and somewhere at truck stops, talking about, you know, being healthy and things like that, running $1 million contracts from USAID as it was there. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, been cut. But you've got people that are already doing great things, and community radio is a great way of saying, well, actually, these people are doing these things, and you might not be interested commercially, or it might not be something that's worthy of a movie, a Bollywood movie, but actually these people are doing great things. And the other one is a colleague of Rob and I's, Baslu, who's based in Bangladesh. He runs the Bangladesh network of radios, and they've got 19 radio stations, thousands of hours every week of programming, predominantly by women. And it really comes into its own in sort of, you know, like hurricane tornado season when the water's coming up to the coast of Bangladesh, there's a lot of flooding and stuff. All of this stuff goes on completely unreported by the mainstream media, that actually a lot of people are getting all of their information locally produced by them in their local language. Is that something that you try to, when you're inducting a young girl, talk to them about you know, this could be the beginning of something, a media career?
So if you listen to a commercial radio, or if you listen to the national radio, they speak a very sleek type of language. I'm using the sleek word again and again, but it doesn't somehow connect with the ground. It doesn't connect with the local dialect. Ahmednagar has its own Marathi dialect, which is spoken in the slums, which is spoken by sex workers, which is spoken by the communities which we work
with. So everybody understands what's being said.
It is inclusive and it reaches their heart. It is not something which, you know, you just go on listening and you don't make anything of it. So that is the beauty of community radio. And that is what we try to achieve now. We started in 2011. It's a long journey. And I think it should go on and on.
So from a fund, let's finish off with a fundraising perspective. What sort of things are you always looking for people to fundraise? Is it, are you looking for sponsorship of programs? Are you looking for equipment? Is it more, is it connections? You know, what you know, fundraising is, it's kind of inverted commas, is quite a broad, yes, you know, broad thing. What is it you're kind of looking for?
I will say we look for sustainability. That may be for funds, that may be for people working for the radio, or that may be for the good equipment so that we can give quality programs or actually connecting to the ground. It is, everything is about sustaining.
How about licensing? How about licensing? Is that, so, what's the sort of, do you get a discount as Sonalia NGO running radio
NGOs,
Nalgar from
NGOs
a commercial
do have,
thing?
Community yeah. radios do have a, means we pay less as compared to commercial radios, but then the reach is also less. So it is all about sustainability, and sustainability, as you know, or as Rob knows, it has many aspects. So I won't call it fundraising. I won't call it connecting with people. I will call it as sustainability as a whole. Unfortunately, community radios still struggle on all types of sustainabilities, even if we are 400 in number. I'm not sure why. Maybe there is some element of the government being a bit, being stick. Did they give away the licenses, but then after that, what to do with these community radios? They are really lost about it.
They're happy to give you the license and yes. almost, so you get on with it, but don't kind of interfere, you know, or don't tell us how.
Yeah, I mean,
don't ask us for help.
We keep on telling them. We keep on telling them, because I was also on the Community Radio Association of India as a treasurer. But we keep on telling the government. The government is very sweet about it. They welcome us with a cup of tea, but then afterwards, I don't think anything much happens later. But on the other side, the commercial radios pay a huge sum for their licenses, and then they are heavily dependent on advertisements, and then it's a vicious cycle. But yeah, we know sustainability because we are in the social sector. So I think that's what makes it different.
So Rob, bringing you in, this is a conversation that we've had a few times.
It sounds
about
very
local,
familiar.
But I mean, also you're involved sort of nationally at various projects and programs over the years, sort of committees and stuff like that, and organizations, even going to things like, you know, Ofcom and DCMS, our Department for Culture, Media and Sport conversations. It's the same issue here in the UK, isn't it? Sustainability for commercial.
Well, there's a phrase that you use radio. A lot, which is, you're never a prophet in your own land. And sometimes pointing to the experience of other people in other places can actually reflect back what you need to do. But that, it's just the need to strengthen the links between community radio stations in the UK and in India and in Africa and lots of other places. The thing that people find very difficult to grasp about community radio, it's not a standardized uniform way of doing things. It's a patchwork. Everybody's different. Everybody's got a local solution. Everything is about, so you can't scale it. You can't transfer scale. You can transfer certain things, but you can't just say a uniform, this is how it should be done. You know, if we evaluate it, there's a standard measure for evaluating what community radio stations do. You can't do that. You've got to look at them each individually. And that's where the kind of business and policy managers kind of struggle, because they've not got a standardized product. And where we step in is to say, we don't need or want a standardized product. That's not what this is about. So the more diversity and difference we can promote, the better.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Pretty, thank you so much.
Add something to what Rob is saying. See, in UK, if you struggle with all that, just imagine what must be the struggle in India with so many diverse languages, dialects, thought processes, the people working there. It makes, just as Rob said, that every community radio is different. And then when there is differences, there is a bit of a unity, the unity level goes a bit of low. But anyways,
I think we've got about 370,000 people in Leicester. Is that right, Rob? Leicester?
Yeah.
370,000 people. And how many radio stations have we got? Community radio stations?
About 8, 9, 10.
8 or 9. Servicing that. Even within that space, you know. So again, there's that. And, you know, being nice to my colleagues in community radio in Leicester, you know, we don't always necessarily do the best that we can to support each other and move forward. And, you know, something like COVID comes along and can be quite a unifying thing, particularly as it came with money for advertising from the NHS. But I think, you know, getting them to support each other's initiatives and events, I think is going to be one of those things. Now, one of the things I'm particularly interested in, and I want to finish on this, is you've got your 15th birthday coming up next January.
The 16th, I think. 2011 to 2026. Okay, sorry, the 15th. Yeah.
See, this is the trouble we're working with professionals, you see. She called me out then on air. Like, 15th anniversary. Yeah, 15th, that's okay. Yes, that's all right. Yes. We'll fight about it afterwards. Yeah. And then connecting that with World Radio Day, literally four or five weeks later on the 13th of February.
Yeah.
And then, of course, one of the things I'd really like to do is then connect that with International Women's Day on the 8th of March, because I think, you know, that's the one of the inspiring things that comes through from what I've seen about what you do and hearing you today and talking to Girish and El previously, is the role of grassroots communities coming through and representing themselves. And of course, that is young women who tend to be on the receiving end of a lot of these issues. Yes. So thank you very much for taking the time to talk to Rob and I today.
Thank you. And as we say in community radio, we agree to disagree. Thank you.
Still the 15th anniversary now, isn't it? Cool. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you. Wonderful.